morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, July 31st, 2019, the last day of the month. We have 15 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we can expect southwest winds to 5 knots today, wind waves from the southwest 1 foot high at about 4 seconds apart, and west swells 4 feet at 8 seconds. And I got the idea of what to talk about today on the Ship Report when I looked at the Columbia River bar forecast. And I was thinking about how this is, you know, usually a weather forecast is for a pretty wide area, a region. And this Columbia River bar forecast is for an area just a few miles long at the very mouth of the river. And it gives expectations about what you can expect if you are taking a vessel through that area. So general seas in the main channel, which is about 55 feet deep or so where the big ships go, 2 to 4 feet through tomorrow morning. But then they have these max, they call them the ebb times. And these are the maximum ebb current times that occur about halfway through the falling tidal cycle, where ebb currents just reach a really fast velocity in the river, because the downriver current, which is coming all the way from Canada down toward the ocean, is being augmented by the falling tide, which is also pushing water out towards the ocean. And during these max ebb current times, the full force of the Columbia slams into the force of the ocean right at that mouth of the river, and it can be quite turbulent. So we have one of the things I noticed this morning was that we have a very strong ebb. We had one beginning around 5 a.m. and then a weaker ebb around 5 p.m. this evening. So seas maybe 5 to 6 feet. And so about every 12 hours, halfway through the falling tidal cycle, you have this max ebb current time. And sometimes the ebbs are strong and sometimes they're weaker. And I thought this was just a very interesting topic. So we'll explore this. It's very complex, but we'll explore this a little bit more in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at who's coming and going across the Columbia River bar today and elsewhere on the river. We have 2 inbounders, 6 in the Astoria Anchorage and Rice Island Anchorages. And we have 7 outbounders going downriver and out to sea. The first arrival in the river is the Pacific Collector. She is a Department of Defense missile detecting radar vessel that patrols the Pacific, scanning the skies using radar and other techniques to detect missiles. So it's a Department of Defense vessel that is homeported in Portland. Her berth is there at the shipyard at Swan Island. She probably passed Astoria inbound about 7:30 this morning. You might see her by about 1:30 at the shipyard in Portland. And the ANSAC Christine Nancy, American Natural Soda Ash Corporation, is what ANSAC stands for. These ships are dedicated to transporting soda ash. So arriving from Taiwan, headed to the Vancouver Anchorage, ultimately she'll be at the Port of Portland to pick up that soda ash. Passing Astoria around 1:30 p.m. inbound, and in Vancouver by about 7:30 this evening. In our Astoria Anchorage, the Galapagos has been in the anchorage for a bit. She's finally headed to Calama today to pick up corn, soy, or maybe wheat, or some combination thereof. Ships have different cargo holds, and they can put different cargoes in different cargo holds. So a ship might stop at a couple different places upriver, actually, and pick up different cargoes in different places. So different customers, depending on where the ship is going. Leaving our anchorage here around 11 a.m., arriving in Calama probably around 4 p.m. Awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage is the Blue Bosphorus, the Eye Evolution, the Serenity Sea. And a little bit upriver at the Rice Island anchorage is the Maria and the Catalina awaiting orders. And ultimately, those ships will head upriver to pick up their own cargoes, and we'll see them hunkered down a bit in the water heading out to sea. In our outbounders, the Corio Bay is leaving Longview, Petcoke on board there, leaving around 2 a.m., so she passed Astoria outbound early, about 5:30 a.m. The Jaguar is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board around 1:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound then maybe around 7:30. The Atlantic Highway is heading out of Vancouver, wheat on board, although Highway, that's probably a car carrier. I may have that wrong. If she's a car carrier, Subaru's leaving around 1:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7:30 p.m. The Cephas Leader is leaving the Port of Portland, could have Fords on board. We actually import some cars, American cars, out of the Port of Portland, headed for Asia, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The Maritime Jing An is leaving Portland. She's a petroleum tanker, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound then about 9 p.m. The Utah Ambitions leaving Calama, corn, soy, or wheat there. on board there, leaving around 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound, then around 9, and the articulated tug and barge rig, the Dublin Sea, is leaving Portland with petroleum in that barge, leaving around 11 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5 a.m. Well, let's talk a little bit about currents and tides, especially. At the very mouth of the river, Cape Disappointment, there are tide tables for that, you know, that are similar. The tides happen there at about the same similar time as they happen on the ocean beaches, so the schedule is similar. So this morning, we had a high tide around about 9 feet high at about midnight. And by 7 a.m., it was low of minus 2.08 feet. That's about, if you add that up, that's almost 11 feet from high to low tide. And that created a very strong ebb, an ebb current that by the time it reached its fastest point, about halfway through the falling tidal cycle, so about 4 or 5 hours into it, the water was really ripping down the river, especially in the lower river here. And when it hit the mouth of the Columbia, it created a very strong ebb. So how does a, sometimes if you read these marine weather forecasts, you'll see a strong ebb and a weak ebb. Well, if there's not that big a tidal swing, and it depends to some degree on the pull of the moon and other conditions, it's complex. But in, when you have a big tidal swing where the tide, where the water is moving 11 feet in elevation down, that's a lot of water moving from one place to another in a rather enclosed space in the river. So when you have an 11-foot drop like that, you're going to get a lot of water just barreling down the river. And so later in the day, when there's only like a, maybe a 6-foot difference or 8-foot difference between high and low tide, the ebb is not nearly as intense as it is when you have a like a higher tide going into a minus tide. So these are things that you can learn, this information you can learn by simply looking at the tide tables. And you can tell for yourself whether it's going to be a really difficult ebb current out there. But basically the reason why, which I've said many times, why that forecast is even there, is to warn mariners not to go out on the Columbia River during a max ebb. Because if you're in a big ship and you're experienced pilot and mariners and Coast Guard kinds of people, they can handle those kind of conditions. But most of us out there, you can quickly lose control of your boat on the Columbia River Bar during an ebb. So here is a little bit of information from the Oregon Coast Aquarium. They created kind of a little visualization exercise here about how you can sort of visualize what happens at the mouth of the river. So here's their sort of, I found this on their website. You can test how strong the currents on the Columbia River Bar work. By kneeling next to a filled bathtub, place both of your hands in the water as far apart as you can, with your left hand representing the ocean and your right hand representing the flow of the river. Now bring your hands together quickly, together in a clapping motion. And what happened? Probably you got a face full of water because the two currents represented by your hands impacted violently there, and the water had no place to go but up and out. Now imagine that on a huge scale, and you can understand what happens on the Columbia River Bar every day. I've been out on the bar when the current, when the tide changed to the ebb, and it's really interesting. Within a few minutes, everything went from being pretty calm to having these rolling swells, and it was scary to see that in just a matter of maybe 10 minutes, sea conditions could change so rapidly. So just a little bit before I run out of time, the average flow at the mouth of the Columbia River, 265,000 cubic feet of water per second. So something to be respected greatly. Here on the river, we have a lot of dynamic conditions. And so be careful out there. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.